Amen. Does anybody know what a blue moon is? Anybody know what a blue moon is? We got some over here. I have a blue moon wife. If you've never heard of that, I have a blue moon wife. And that is, a blue moon happens very, very rarely. And I got a very rare lady when I got my wife. Matter of fact, it happens very rarely. It's any month that has two full moons in it. It's got to be within the same month, two full moons. And it's always the last full moon of the month. And that was July the 31st. It was the second full moon this month. And that was my wife's birthday. And that's probably none of you have never, very rare if you would have a blue moon birthday. And so, I really thank God for my wife that she gave me, and she's been right by my side all these years, really. 45 years at the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission and 41 years here at the Durham Rescue Mission. And she's just a bigger part of the rescue mission as I am. And a lot of folks say she's a bigger part than I am, and they're probably right, you know, but she's right there with us doing the work. Me and Georgia singing, that was a blessing. That was a real blessing. That was a very encouragement. We've got a little table at the back there with some brochures on it, some testimonials. One just fell down. As I mentioned in Sunday school, and just about everywhere I go, I mention, and my ministry is trying to help a lot of God's children that have addicted loved ones. My dad was addicted. Nobody helped him. And so my drive has been to help those Christians that have addicted loved ones. And really, if we look in our family, we all probably have got grandkids that are kids or grandkids or cousins and nephews and nieces that are addicted, uncles and aunts that are addicted, in-laws that are addicted. And a lot of times when you think of addiction, you think of street drugs. But so often nowadays, it's not street drugs, it is prescription drugs that's driving the addiction. And there are prescription drugs that are bought on the streets also, that's bootlegged on the streets. But also, a big problem also is the doctors prescribing prescription drugs and not really following up with the patient like they ought to. And the person gets addicted. And the recovery is just as bad as, a lot of times, just as bad as the street drugs to recover from that. I want you to know that you have us there to be a help for you. And that is our goal. And our goal is always to have one empty bed, to have one empty bed so that when the phone rings and your loved one is ready for help, we can say, bring them on, you know. Because a lot of times, they might not be ready for help right now. You know what I mean? They might think they got the world by the tail. They're still using their job. I mean, they're still using their drugs. They got a job. They still have their family, and seem like they got the best of both worlds. But drugs, after a while, will bring down. And so it'd be good if you could get some educational materials to them to help them, not in a condescending way. You don't want to be condescending to them. And I get a little bit to that into the message today, but do that. There at the my goal, I've been in rescue mission work now 46 years. All I've ever done was help operate a rescue mission. And my goal has been to develop an effective program to turn lives around. And we shared in the Sunday school that Charity Navigators, which rates charities, it's the number one grader of charities in the United States. And it's graded the rescue mission as the number one homeless service provider charity in North Carolina and South Carolina. And basically what they really judge on, they don't judge the preaching of the gospel per se. That's not what they judge, but they judge the financial accountability of that organization and how well they take donations and utilize that to actually get the maximum use out of every dollar. And matter of fact, I have a sheet of paper that we do a spreadsheet of the services that we render, and literally, and I put a market value on what I do, and for every shirt that we give away, or every meal that we serve, or a night's lodging, I put what it would cost. They pay nothing for it, but what would it cost if they had to buy it on the free market out there? And literally, for every dollar that's donated, we literally give $3 worth of value back to the community and to the men and women that come to the rescue mission. So we value your donation. So many times as Charity Navigators, as you go on their site, evaluate that. So often, that charity that they grade only gives back just a few pennies on the dollar for every dollar that's donated. And we give back about $3 for every two that's given. Also, go by the book table if you would. Not the book table. We do have a book on there, but it's the periodical table. And get some information. We have a copy of our book we wrote on the miracles of the mission, the history of the mission there. And it's copies going back the starting of the mission, how it got started, and it got some of the testimonials, Lynn Holloway's testimony in here. So if you buy a book, be sure to get Lynn to sign his chapter. There's a whole chapter in here on Lynn's testimony and some of the other testimonies at the mission. So that's on our book table back there. And then we've got a lot of testimonial brochures. Now, on the testimonial brochures, these would be good to share with your loved one that's struggling with addiction. In here, we have the story of a person that was addicted. It tells about their addiction, how they came to Christ, how they changed their lives and turned around. And then on next to the last page, it really has the plan of salvation, basically what we call the Romans Road of salvation. And so basically, one of your loved ones can take this brochure, read the life of someone that was addicted, read the gospel testimony, the gospel scriptures on how to be saved, and basically just from this, they can be saved. Matter of fact, just from this one brochure here, you can take this brochure and walk through the scriptures that we have right here, and you can show your lost loved one how to be saved and pray with them. That's all you would need to do that. So get a lot of these from the table back there. Now, don't think that the rescue mission is wasting money. It's a beautiful four-color. This is a four-color print brochure. But you know how much it costs the mission? Zero. How many of you heard of Strawbridge Studios in Durham? Strawbridge? Were you waving that hand? Why are you waving it so big? They are. He's a Christian man, and his ministry is to print the brochures for us at no charge. He doesn't even charge us for paper or anything. And Harold Strawbridge has just been just a great, great big help. So this is his way now of getting the gospel out. He wants to get the gospel out. So you take as many of those as you can use, and if you run out, just give us a call, and we'll send you some more or something, or you can stop by and pick up some more. But these are good gospel tracts. These are good gospel tracts to help you with your loved ones or other loved ones. These are good gospel tracts if you meet somebody on the street that's panhandling. If they say that they're hungry, and can you give them a dollar for food or something, and you say, let me take you down to McDonald's, and you take him into McDonald's and buy him a sandwich and just kind of sit down and go through the track with him and just talk to them. And it's a good way that you can begin to share the gospel with them there. Some special events coming up I really want you to begin to pray about, and they're all taking place in August. The first big event in August is August the 19th, and we need you there. If you know how to lead someone to the Lord, if you know how to do personal work and pray with someone and show them how to be saved, we need you there. We have last year at our back school party, we had 130 to accept Christ as their Savior. And the way we do that is that we'll have three preaching services going on at the same time. We'll have two English services going on, one in the chapel. we hope we can get back in the chapel. We're renovating that, and I think they're going to give us temporary occupancy permit just to use the chapel until we get it renovated. Another one in our dining room, a preaching service, and then we rent a big tent, that we put up a big tent on the back corner of the lot, and that we're preaching the gospel in Hispanic. And so what the preachers do, they preach the gospel message, they give the message, and then they ask them to bow their heads, and then the pastor, those that want to be saved, he'll lead them in the repentance prayer, you know, how to be saved, and he'll lead them through the prayer. And then at the close, he says, now, those of you that prayed that prayer, we want you to come forward and have a personal worker to deal with you. And so they've already prayed the prayer. But you know, like I know, a person can be saved by praying the prayer in the pew. But then there can be a lot of confusion also. And there could be some people that prayed the prayer but didn't really mean it from their heart. And so we want them to come forward now and talk to a personal worker, preferably one-on-one, so that they can lead them back through the scriptures, pray with them again, and make sure they really understood what they were going on. So you can be a big, big help to us on that. And another good thing, if you know of a good thing to do, if you know of a Christian, you know how to lead someone to the Lord. You know how to do that. But if you got another worker that's maybe new in the Lord or just beginning to grow in the Lord, and you want to disciple them, invite that person to come with you. You do all of the talking. You'll have the scriptures. You'll be taking them through the scriptures. But they're sitting there with you, and they are learning how to lead somebody to the Lord also. They can just be praying for you as you're reading the scriptures, as you're dealing with them. And that's a way to disciple somebody else into soul winning. So think about that. Give my wife an hour call, and we get you signed up to come in and do that. Okay, let's take our Bibles, if you would. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. And then keep your fingers there and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Keep your finger in Matthew 5 and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll come back to chapter 5 because that is our text verse, but I would like to begin with 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, so often, like I mentioned, we got loved ones in our family that are lost, that are addicted. How can we be a help to them? How can we help our loved ones come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I really believe in the depths of our hearts, that's the thing that we want more than anything else, to see that loved one come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what can we do? How can God use us to help that loved one come to the Lord? Over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Ooh. That hurts, don't it? I mean, if we're not living that life before that loved one that we really ought to be living, if our gospel be hid, in other words, if we're not living that life we ought to be, it's really hid to those that are lost, our loved ones that we really want to see saved more than anything else in the world. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's a little g, that's the devil, the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest they should come to the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for Grove Park. And Father, as we began to look into your word today, Father, we want to bring those loved ones to attention. Father, those that are still out on drugs, those still are addicted, or not even on drugs, but just not saved. Father, I know that everyone here would love to see them saved, love to see them come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if you would today, Lord, show us, Lord, show us what we can do, how we can be an aid, and how we can help them to come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. For it's in your name we ask. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, now and go back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Here, in verse 14, the Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so what we want to do, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How many of you lost power this winter with the ice storm? Anybody lose? I mean, we were without power for 6 days. I mean, we 6 days, and we were there. We lost all the food in our freezer. It went bad. We lost that. I remember trying to get up, and I've got to get into the mission. When you have an ice storm and all the power's going out, I don't have time to worry about my house. I have over 400, almost 500 men, women, and children that I got to make sure they got food, clothing, and shelter. And the lights went out at the men's and the women's campus also. So, you're talking about responsibilities. You get 500 people with no power, no electricity, and it's your responsibility to make sure they got 3 meals a day, you know. But I remember trying to get up and getting dressed in the dark, groping in the dark, you know, stumbling over things and falling and couldn't see anything. It was just a horrible time. And then I remember only about four days into the ice freeze, or maybe it was 3 days into the ice freeze, I was there at the house for a little while. I looked out across the street, two streets over, and man, the lights came on. I mean, I cannot tell you the hope that gave me. Just seeing that light, I said, they're getting closer. They'll be here any moment now. And to know, to realize that they were on Duke Power and we were on Piedmont Electric. And so it was another 2 or 3 days before we got electricity. But sitting there in the house with that, all the coldness that was out there and all the darkness and seeing that light over there, that person that had light. You know, can you imagine being 4 days without a cup of coffee and you're cold? And I was thinking in my mind, you know, I mean, how great it would be if that guy that's got lights would just come and just bring me a cup of coffee. How good that would be, you know. But they didn't. And you know, sometimes I kind of believe that maybe that's the way that unsaved people see us. They see us as a light. And sometimes their lives, that they are groping in their lives. They're groping in the darkness. They don't know what they're stumbling at. That they want to get off drugs, but they don't know how. They try to get off drugs, and they fall right back on that. But yet, they maybe a neighbor across the street, they look out and they see your children playing in the yard and see the happiness in your family and everything. And sometimes I wonder if those neighbors don't say, you know, I sure wish they would come over and tell me the secret. What is their secret? Why do they have joy and happiness and peace? And we and our families, we're just tore all apart and we're fussing and fighting and quarreling with one another all the time. Wouldn't it be nice if they would just come over and just tell us their secret to life there? I believe there's a lot of people out there that are looking to us as Christians. And I think God wants us to let that light so shine that it'll create that type of attitude. And those that see us, they will want us to share them the secret of what's different in our lives to make it different there for them. And so here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, ye are the light of the world. See, sometimes you are more valuable than you really give yourself credit for sometimes. Not because of anything good that we did, now don't misunderstand me, but you are more valuable to the unsaved out there than we really give ourselves credit for a lot of times. Because as we are the light of the world, we are what they really want. They don't really understand that. They don't understand why. But you are valuable. You are valuable to them. More valuable than a cup of coffee on a cold day, I tell you that. But ye are the light of the world. John said in John 8 there, then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Ephesians 5 says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye lights in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Paul said in Philippians, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Isn't that what we want to be? We want to be a shining light so that we can be a help to those out there in their troubles and in their loved ones there. And then back there in verse 15, it says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You know, so often I hear people say, don't be so outward and forward with your Christianity. I mean, yeah, you can worship in church, but when you're in the public square, just keep your mouth shut, you know? And that's the way some people would want us to be, because they are anti-Christian in that. But here he says, let your light shine. He said, you don't put it under a bushel. How many knows what a bushel is? Anybody know what a bushel is? You know what a bushel, how big is a bushel? Dad would always, he was a sharecropper back on the farm, and we didn't have much money, but we ate good now. Matter of fact, he would raise 25 bushels of potatoes a year. He would want 25 bushels of potatoes a year, and a bushel is equivalent to 8 gallons. And so Jesus is saying here, you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel basket, which was a weaved basket. Generally speaking, it was, but it's basically the size of it there. You don't hide the candle. You don't want to hide your light. You want your light to shine so others can see it out there in the world. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Did you notice that's not a, if you would like to let your light shine, let it shine, but it's literally it's a command of God. God wants your light to shine, and he has commanded us, let your light so shine before men. That is a commandment of God that it's our responsibility to let that light shine. And that's to trim the lamp or whatever it takes to confess the sin. There's none of us perfect, at least I'm not, I'm not perfect. But yet we're to keep those sins confessed and keep them up to date with the Lord and live that life that is commemorative of the Lord there. So let that light shine before men. Now, what does it mean to let your light shine before men? Does it mean like the Pharisees that we walk around with our thumbs and we say, look at me, how great I am. Look how great I serve the Lord. No, because that's pride and that's arrogancy. And neither should we do that in our families around our kids, neither. Neither should we, when we're talking to our kids, make our kids think that we are better than they are. Have you ever been around people that they acted like they were better than you were? You've been around people like that. And sometimes I think we as Christians, that's the way we come off. Matter of fact, that is the way that I came off to my brothers and sisters, my two brothers, when I first got saved. And I tell you what, it was a very difficult time to witness to them after that, But I fell into the same trap. I fell into the same trap. And I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But by the grace of God, there go I also. And if he keeps me day by day, if he doesn't keep me, I fall right back into the same mess I was in, And so, but it says here, let your light so shine before men, because men need to see that light. They need to see it because they need to see that. But then it says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We don't want our kids to glorify us. And we don't want to get the glory from that because we're nothing but sinners saved by grace. But we do want them to see our good works. And then we want to brag on the Lord. And we want to tell them that we're just sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. And we want them to know that. We want them to know that we're sinners, but we're sinners that are forgiven. We're forgiven. And we're no better than anybody else. See our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So this is a command. He gave another command over in Acts 1:8. He says, "But and this is after his death, burial, and his resurrection, and just before the ascension back to heaven. In verse 8 it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be." You notice that command? Not if you want to, not if you feel like it, but "and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth." But I believe the gospel really begins at home. And Jerusalem was a home city. That's where they were at. And yes, the gospel began in Jerusalem and then began to spread out to the other areas. And it's no closer than home than our own loved ones that need the Lord Jesus Christ. They are our Jerusalem. They are our Jerusalem. They are the ones that we can witness to the most and have a good relationship with. And yes, God can use you there. I remember Walter Cole. Walter Cole came, and I believe, did Walter Cole come and give his testimony here? Any? I don't know, but because he's been dead for quite some years now. But Walter Cole spent 22 years in the prison here in North Carolina because of heroin addiction, armed robbery to feed his habit, and got out bitter at the world and everybody in the world. Buckner recommended him come to the rescue mission. He came and he got saved the second or third day that he was there. And the man that was bitter became very loving and wanting to serve the Lord and just turn his life around. I remember he became the director of our men's division. I mean, he just began to grow in the Lord, take on more responsibility and more responsibility. And every staff prayer meeting we would have, Walter would say, "Pray for my family. Pray for my sons." And because they were following in their dad's footsteps before he got saved. And he would kept saying, "Pray for them." And Walter was able to get his wife. They were separated. His wife finally came to live with them. Just the example of Walter. He got saved. And now he began to win his loved ones to the Lord. So his wife came to the rescue mission. And she got saved. Got in our victory program. And then their daughter was, she wasn't living with them. They were off. She was living some other place. They were able to get custody of their daughter back. And then he kept saying, "Pray for my sons." They had grown sons. And he said, "Pray for them that they're not saved." And Walter really never saw them get saved. Walter died with cancer, never seeing his loved ones get saved. And I remember at his funeral there, I was at Walter's funeral, and I was there at the head of the casket, and I'd walk over here. And there was another man, Walter's son. Seemed like I walk over this side, and he would follow me over here. And I go back over here, and he would follow me. And his son was Muhammad. Muhammad was his name. And I said, "Muhammad, if you died tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven?" And Muhammad just dropped his head and said, "No, I don't." And I said, "Would you mind if I just took the Bible and showed you how to be saved?" And he just nodded yes. And I remember, and they were having a funeral, and we walked back into the choir room. There's a choir room there behind the baptistry. And back in there, I was able to sit down and take the scriptures and show Muhammad how to be saved. He prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to come into his heart and life. He was in the Navy, at Norfolk. So he goes back to Norfolk, and his wife gets saved, his kids get saved, and now he's teaching Sunday school at Norfolk. And sometimes on Wednesday night, he'll even fill in for the pastor on Sunday night. Why? because of Walter's prayers. Not because of anything I did, but he was just like a ripe fruit ready to be picked. Because Walter had prayed for him and prayed for him and witnessed to him and witnessed to him. And then another son of Walter was Walter Jr., Walter Cole Jr. He was in prison, following there again in his dad's footsteps. And so I went to prison to visit him there. And there in prison, Walter bowed and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior also. And see, parents, don't give up on your loved ones. Keep praying for them. In other words, they might not even get saved in your lifetime. Neither did they get saved in Walter Cole's lifetime, neither. But God has promised that whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so keep praying. God answers prayer. Maybe not in your lifetime, but God answers prayer. Don't give up on them. Keep praying there, and God will grant that. So the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What does a light look like? Have you ever stopped to think about that? He says, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father. But what does a light look like? How do you know when you're seeing the light? I really believe you find that in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. What does the light look like? I believe it's the fruit of the Spirit. I believe God wants the fruit of the Spirit to be in our lives and shining out of our lives so that those that are lost can see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And what is that? The fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And I believe that's what the unsaved crowd out there, they have no love, they have no peace, they have no goodness or faith or meekness. They don't have that. They don't have temperance. And to see someone that has the qualities of the Holy Spirit in their lives, it makes them hunger and thirst to be more like you. And that's why I ask, when you're living that kind of life and the world can see, your loved ones can see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you'd be surprised what kind of a magnet. And you maintain, now here's a very important part. He says the fruit of the life is meekness. I've already mentioned a little bit on that. If you maintain that meekness in your life and not an arrogancy better than they are and things like that, we're just sinners saved by grace. If we can maintain that, I believe we will win our loved ones to the Lord as we do that. What is it again? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I wonder, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, how many would say, preacher, yes, I have a loved one that's addicted, or I have a loved one that's lost, and preacher, I wish you would pray for that loved one. Would you raise that hand? Yes, yes, I see that, I see that. Others, over here, back there, over here, I see that, yes. Say, preacher, yes, I have a loved one that's addicted. I have a loved one that's lost. Preacher, would you help me pray for that loved one? Are there others? Yes, I see that. Others? How about, is there someone you say, preacher, to be honest with you, if I died right now, I don't know if I go to heaven or hell. Preacher, I'm mixed up. I'm confused. I don't know. I just don't know. And I'd love for you to pray for me. I don't know I'd go to heaven. Preacher, pray for me. Would you raise that hand? Anyone? Just slip it right up. Take it right back down. Slip it up and take it right back. Preacher, I don't know if I go to heaven, if I died or not. Pray for me. Would you? Father, we thank you for the honesty of those that raise their hand. And Father, we thank you for the concern, the burden that they have for that loved one. And Father, we pray now, Lord, you be with us, we that have, and my hand goes up also. And Lord, be with us and give us that wisdom and that guidance. And Lord, help us be that light, the light of you, reflecting your love, reflecting the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives to our lost loved ones, that they might be saved before it's too late. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.